You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dodgers go. Way to save the season. The throw, fire, and down! Incomplete down at the goal line by San Diego! Tomlinson, off the left side, Tomlinson sidestep. Hello, history books. I think they have to, here's Scrolls. Scrolls inside the 10, inside the 5, and the Chargers win the game.
Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to The Walkthrough with me, Jamie Hoyle. And as you can see, I have a guest this week. His name is Mike Dabate with Locked On Patriots podcast. Mike, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, anytime, my friend. Thanks so much for having me on today.
You're very welcome. I appreciate you coming on last minute. I know we're going to have some fun today, so let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about this Chargers-Patriots game. I thought I'd start with a question about Bill Belichick.
Sure.
Not so much about Belichick possibly winding up with the Chargers, but more, you know, I think we learn more about people in bad times than we do in good times. And things have been a little rough for the Patriots the last couple of years since Tom Brady left. So I was curious what you feel like you and the Patriots and Patriots fans have learned about Bill Belichick in the rough times in terms of drafting, developing, coaching. What's been going on behind the scenes? What have you learned about him as times have gotten a little rougher?
Oh, that's a good question. And I like the way you phrased it, because not many people phrase that question like that. It's usually what went wrong in New England? What's the problem with Bill? Things of that nature. Asking it about what we've learned here in New England about Bill Belichick since Tom Brady's departure. I don't necessarily think it's anything that we learned ill will toward Bill. I don't think all of a sudden the curtain was pulled back and he's the fraudulent, great and powerful Oz behind the scenes. And it was all Tom Brady that was responsible for the dynasty. I think what it showed, though, is that these two entities coming together in arguably one of the greatest coaches to ever coach in the NFL and arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL, coming together at the right time was a synergy that led to a 2+ decade dynasty. One without the other was not going to be able to get the job done in that level for that many years. So what we learned about Bill Belichick is there were mistakes that were made along the way. And a lot of them were, I don't want to say covered up, but they were essentially erased by having someone as good as Tom Brady calling signals under center and directing that offense, especially maybe some of the miscues or maybe some of the misfires when it came to drafting offensive weapons or bringing guys in that could help, you know, Brady. Essentially, some of those moves were good ones. Obviously, the move to bring in Randy Moss was a successful one for New England, drafting Rob Gronkowski in the second half of the Patriots dynasty. But for all of those, you have some of the misses as well. And there's, you know, definitely a few blemishes on Bill Belichick's record. But in terms of the X's and O coach, Bill Belichick, I don't think the bad times revealed anything new about him that we didn't already know before. This guy probably has forgotten more football in his sleep than most people will learn in a lifetime, and that hasn't changed. But the one thing that you're seeing now is the struggle when you don't have the supporting cast around you and the guys that buy in to the Patriot way that they've had for the last two decades. You don't have Tom Brady leading them in that locker room anymore and getting them, I don't want to say fired up, but essentially getting everyone all on the same page. Yeah, that's a problem. So is Bill Belichick good enough alone to be able to resurrect the dynasty without the solid supporting cast of players he needs to coach? No, I think you're seeing that now, but I also don't believe that it's a situation where he's being exposed because you hear that a lot, especially in the national media. Bill Belichick is still a very intelligent football mind, and no matter where he coaches next year, whichever team is going to be subject to that wisdom and counsel, as I like to say on Locked On Patriots, it's going to be a fortunate team.
So you mentioned something. You mentioned the buy-in, buying into the Patriot way. And I'm curious, do you think that the NFL has evolved to the point where maybe you're not going to get players of this generation to buy into the Patriot way? Do you think they can still make that happen? Or is it, have they reached a point where maybe they need to move on and find a new Patriot way?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to adapt with the times. The obviously the modern athlete is a little bit different from that which was coming up, and maybe a rookie or hungry to be able to latch on to a team that had a chance to win a championship. You're not finding that as much anymore. It tends to be more individualized than it does toward the team concept. And I think that's across the board in all of professional sports. But if you have the right person at the helm as a player now, I'm not necessarily talking about as a coach, because the coach can give you all of the wisdom and the counsel that he can possibly give. But if you don't have a player that's commanding the respect of everyone in that locker room and is getting everyone to buy in and believe in it, it's never going to work. I do think there are some circumstances in the NFL where the Patriot way could still work when you have someone that is like a Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, buying Andy Reid's type of leadership. I'm not saying that they're like for like. I'm not comparing Andy Reid to Bill Belichick, but that type of discipline and that type of way really requires the proper captain at the helm to be able to get all his teammates on the same page. That's going to be the challenge for New England. I'm not necessarily sure that the players that are playing today would buy into the Patriot way. And to tell you the truth, I'm really not sure they should. It may be that the game has passed a little bit for that specific system to work. If Belichick is going to evolve, he needs to evolve with the times as well. So I think it really is a little bit of both. I think most of it can still be effective in the NFL because the tenets are pretty much the same. Winning at all costs, team first, always go out there, give your best, do your job, and be versatile. But at the same time, that type of extra discipline that you put in that layer on top can rub players the wrong way. And I think you're seeing that in New England right now with the lack of success they've had since Tom Brady has left.
Yeah, you know, I think you make a good point about evolving. I think the league is evolving. And I guess the question is, if he's going to coach somewhere else, whether it's the Chargers or wherever it might be, is Belichick, does he want to evolve? Is he able to evolve? And where do you go from here? Because I think you're seeing some things from Patriots players right now that you never would have seen in the past 20 years. Things like Jabril Pepper saying this team is ass on the field, things like that. That never would have happened. It never would have flown. Brady would have cut that down in a heartbeat. It just seems like in this day and age, in this generation, you know, players are looking for clicks. They're looking for people to catch their brand, to pay attention to them as individuals. is Belichick capable of evolving in that way and dealing with those kinds of players?
Having covered Bill for the last 6 years now here in New England, yeah, I do believe he can adapt. Look, it's going to be a departure in philosophy from him. Bill came out as one of the least interested social media active coaches in the NFL, maybe since the advent of social media. When you get up there and you start referring to it as snap face, you're not exactly sending it a Valentine. I think we can all tell what Bill Belichick feels about that type of self-promotion. But I also think that he realizes, especially over the last couple of years, that it's so important to the players that are now coming up through the system, younger players that, like you said, want to increase their brand. And they should. That's exactly the type of society in which we live. So naturally, the game has to evolve. Coaches have to evolve. And Bill is smart enough to realize that if he's going to get a team to buy into his philosophy, even if it is a watered-down Patriot way from what we've seen in the past, he needs to evolve. So I think he's smart enough to realize that. Now, the question is whether or not even that watered-down type of Patriot way, that watered-down type of disciplinary faction that this team has always had the reputation of being would go somewhere else. And that's where I think it goes back to having the right players at the helm, veterans that have been in the system before, understand where Bill is coming from, and help him to be able to reach the guys in that locker room. And then when you have a strong presence, an alpha presence as a captain or a quarterback or someone that can get everyone on the same page, that's where you're going to see it work. To be honest, you have a lot of those elements in Los Angeles. You've got a good, solid veteran team. If they keep it together, guys like Bosa and Mac on the defensive side of the ball. On offense, Justin Herbert, even though he doesn't have a reputation as being necessarily a vocal leader, a la someone like a Brady who's going to get in your face or whatever and make sure that you toe the company line, he's also developed enough cachet just from his talent alone. People are going to listen to him. New England doesn't have that right now, and they don't have that leadership coming from the players. That's why I think you're seeing the Belichick system falter so much this year. There is a little bit of evolution that needs to happen from the coach, but I also think the players need to buy in as well. And maybe that's why everyone has come to the realization that, the Belichick era in New England may have ended. If he is going to continue his football journey, he may have to go elsewhere in order to sell that type of message.
You mentioned earlier, people buying in and kind of Brady elevating the people around him. Who's doing the elevating for the Patriots right now? It certainly isn't the quarterback play. So who on the field, whether it's offense or defense, is making people around them better right now?
I would say it mostly comes from the defensive side of the ball. Believe it or not, the guy that was under fire pretty much all week long has been a very quiet leader in that locker room, and that is Jabril Peppers. He's led by example. He's led by his play on the field, solid, aggressive, never giving up on a play. Those are things that Patriot players were always noted for in the glory days, guys that would always do their job, no matter what job was given to them, whether it be playing in the box or whether it be playing at the free or whether it be moving up, playing a hybrid linebacker or even a defensive back. This is what Jabril has been doing all year long. So I look at him as someone that can lead by example. Obviously, the alphas in the room are still the old guard, the guys that won championships in New England, like a David Andrews as a center, helps keep that offensive line together. Matthew Slater, the special teams ace, who I believe will be a Hall of Famer someday. His prowess and his reputation has allowed him to reach players that maybe other guys don't have the ability to. But you've got a lot of young leadership on this team. I want to say leadership buds that are there, but not necessarily blossomed yet. And that's what they were looking for, I think, from the quarterback position this season. Unfortunately, just the play all around them and injuries and difficulties connecting with the coaching staff has really led to the product you're seeing on the field right now for New England.
Talk to me a little bit about the quarterback play. I've watched their last three or four games. It wasn't much fun to watch. It seems like they were relying on the offensive line and the skill players to elevate the quarterbacks, but that doesn't seem to be happening. And the quarterbacks aren't elevating anybody. So what are the quarterbacks doing well? What are they not doing well? What do you expect from these guys on a week-to-week basis?
Well, that's been the problem. We really don't know what to expect from these players on a week-to-week basis. There have been seedlings of success that you've seen throughout the season. Mac Jones leading a touchdown drive against the Buffalo Bills to win the game in week 7 almost made people start believing that maybe there was a starting caliber quarterback that could lead this team back to prominence. But we've seen so little of that this year. It's been mostly inability to make sound decisions when most needed. That's been leading to a foundering, especially of Mac, because he's been the starter now in every game to date, with the exception of the one that we're going to watch tomorrow. It's led to a foundering of his confidence. And because his confidence is shaken, his mechanics have been off. His footwork has been sped up. He's not playing in the same rhythm with his offensive line, his running backs, and his pass catchers, most importantly, which has led to ill-timed throws. Either the throw arrives too quickly, too late, not on the spot. I won't put all of it on the quarterback, because there are difficulties with the receivers as well. Guys are not running the correct routes. It's led to an abysmal showing on offense for New England. And when you're reliant on an offensive line to block and the running game to get going so you can facilitate play action, which is where your quarterbacks are at your best, the offensive line has been in flux this year as well. A lot of injuries to a lot of key players, Trent Brown, Cole Strange, Riley Reiff. These guys have all spent time on the injured list. Michael Wainu moving over to the right tackle position has been a very good move for New England. It's the only reason why you're seeing the running game wake up a little bit. But other than that, it's been very, very few and far between that we've seen any signs of life. And they keep turning the ball over early. And especially in Mac Jones's case, he seems to be a quarterback right now that is heading into a snap, heading into a huddle, anticipating something going wrong each and every time. If that is indeed the case, and reports around the team say that's the general consensus, yeah, it's not a surprise why they're pulling him and they're going with Bailey Zappe this week. It's not so much because they see so much in Zappe that leads them to confidence that this guy could be our future. I think it's the only move they have to make right now. Zappe may give him a little more confidence, a little more consistency this week, but he hasn't exactly shown the world that he's capable of carrying the reins either. It's just not easy times in New England right now. It's difficult. And outside of New England, I know no one is shedding tears for them, but from someone that's covered this team in good times now and in bad, it's tough to see a Bill Belichick coach team playing as such. But, it's the hand they were dealt and the hand they kind of dealt themselves as well.
Yeah, I was really blown away by some of the throws that Mac Jones can't make, that he's struggling making, particularly throws outside the hashes and outside the numbers. Intermediate and deep outs that are just floating. It's like he's aiming them. He's not throwing them with any conviction. He just looks lost throwing anything other than a slant or a post or some kind of an angle route. There's just not any confidence or comfort at all with what he's doing, throwing the ball outside of the hashes and really outside of the numbers.
Yeah. And I think in a way you're absolutely right on the money, and what opposing teams are doing is they're picking up on that. They're seeing that Mac is not handling pressure well, whether it be pressure from the middle part of the defensive line, the interior, or whether it be problems from the outside. And this is where he really struggles, is when you start blitzing him from the second and the third level. And really, I mean, it's been awful this year as well. He's getting blitzed from the top level as well. It causes him to open this to open at the top of his drop in the wrong direction. And when he does that, his mechanics completely go off kilter. And that's why you're seeing so many errant throws and so many problems in his mechanics. And in a lot of ways, you hoped that Bill O'Brien coming in was going to fix a lot of that, because we've seen this from Mac now really a lot of last year. And even in the elements of his rookie season, in which he performed relatively well, when he had difficulty, it was always that second and third level that tripped him up. Last year, we saw all three levels come after him, and this year we're seeing it again, and we're just not seeing enough improvement from Jones in order to warrant him to continue to be out there. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent observation, especially from someone that doesn't regularly watch the Patriots. It's nice to know that the stuff we're seeing on a weekly, daily basis is being picked up around the league as well, and I don't think it's really a secret. As like I said, as to why you're seeing a new guy under center this weekend.
So do you expect them to run similar routes and similar concepts with Bailey Zappe? Are they going to try to get the ball down the field with him? Is it they're going to try to simplify and keep it short? What do you expect on Sunday?
I think they're going to do a little bit of both. I think they're going to simplify and keep it short. I would like to say that the Patriots may take a few more shots downfield with Bailey Zappe in there, because technically, I think his arm is a little stronger than Mac Jones. But the problem is, Bailey has not shown on a consistent basis that he's able to get the ball downfield. He's also having problems picking up his reads. He didn't complete a pass over 5 yards on Sunday, in mop-up duty when he came in. It's very difficult to say that this team is going to be able to move the ball with a lot of effectiveness on a regular basis. Now, you have the small sample size of what he did last season. That was in a very simplified version of the Patriots offense, and Bailey ran it well. The problem with trying to replicate that is teams are going to recognize it right off the bat, where you kind of caught them off guard a little bit last year, especially in the games against Detroit and Cleveland, where he played very well. These were issues that started to pop up in training camp, in preseason. It actually led to his release at the end of training camp, and then he ended up coming back. So I'm cautiously optimistic that the Patriots may be able to find a little more rhythm under Bailey Zappe, but I would not look for any drastic changes or any type of really big departures from what they've done schematically so far. I just think they'll run a more simplified version and maybe on occasion try to catch the defense off guard, but it's going to be more of the same of what you've seen. Maybe just a little more consistency. And if Bailey plays with a little more confidence, you can probably expect to see fewer turnovers and more completions. But other than that, this Patriots offense is still a ways away from being a competent NFL group.
It seemed pretty stagnant to me. Not a lot of pre-snap motion, not a lot of misdirection, not a lot of creativity, period. Very stagnant, very predictable, very vanilla. And I don't know if that's a function of what they have to do for Mac Jones to understand what's going on and now Zappe, or if it's just how they want to run the offense, but it just seems very predictable and it's easy to get bogged down. What I did notice is it seems like the offensive line is playing pretty well. They have a lot of success running the ball inside, a lot of runs behind their guards who are playing pretty well for the most part. A pretty diverse running game. They run outside, they run outside zone, inside zone. I saw some powers, some traps, things like that. So they're pretty well-rounded in the running game. And it seems like I would expect them to come out and try to run the ball down the Chargers' throats with some of the troubles the Chargers have had stopping the run. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to do that as well. And look, you look at what the New England Patriots do well, and that is run the football. And you need a competent offensive line to do that. For the first time all season, the Patriots, I believe, will field maybe their best unit that they have to date this Sunday against the Chargers. Trent Brown is still battling some injuries, but when he is in there, he is someone that can give you a large presence on the blind side. So if you're worried about Bailey Zappe's protection, Trent should be able to do that, and a Wayne can do it on the right side. Now you're looking at this interior of the Patriots offensive line and being able to block effectively and spring guys like Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott. They've been pushing the line of scrimmage, and they've been doing a very good job of that. They have to continue to challenge this Chargers defensive front. If they can do that successfully, regularly, Ramondre showed enough to be able to break tackles, to be able to utilize his strengths, power run when he needs to, but also be able to turn on his speed and be able to get out. And Ezekiel Elliott has been a phenomenal complement in the backfield all season long, not getting necessarily the looks he should because of the Patriots' problems up front. But now that the line has figured some things out, he's getting additional touches as well. New England's going to be a very heavy run, first team on Sunday, and you know the Chargers are going to be ready for that. So to me, I think that's a key matchup to watch. Can the Chargers keep this team from running the football early? If they do, it's going to be a long day in Foxborough for the home team.
Yeah, I'm curious, how are teams going about pressuring Patriots quarterbacks right now? It seems I saw some struggles from Cole Strange with swim moves and outside counters. Mm-hmm. Maybe some stunts in games, things like that, the occasional blitz. How are teams having success getting to the Patriots quarterbacks and attacking the offensive line?
Yeah, you're getting a lot of it from the second level of the defense, basically. The team that have had most success against Mac and even against Bailey, because we saw him pressure a little bit last weekend, these guys are getting out, they're getting in front, They're utilizing mismatches when it comes to having either blocking problems from the offensive line, utilizing mismatches when the tight ends have to get into to block as well. And that's where linebackers at the second level are pinning their ears back and getting to Mac. You're also seeing some of it come from the third level, which the secondary, the safeties, they've been able to get after him a little bit. And again, it goes back to what I talked about before. It allows the defenders to be able to force the quarterback, the Patriots quarterback, in this case, Mac Jones, to go in the wrong direction, to open in the wrong direction, to forget where they need to be, or it's not necessarily forget, but confuse them to the point where they're not sure exactly where their receiver is going to be at any given time. They try to make up for it on the fly, but it hasn't been successful. So that, I think, is where the Chargers are going to look to try to put some difficulty, and really, I think, try to put a great deal of pressure on Bailey Zappe on Sunday. Khalil Mack is playing in another level right now, and I expect him to be a huge problem for this New England Patriots offensive line to contain. If he starts getting his hands on Bailey, it's going to be a really, really long day for New England. But I also look for someone like a Derwin James, who's capable of doing so much in that backfield. I would look for him to maybe be someone that could possibly get pressure on Bailey as well, because this team is well suited up front right now to try to withstand what the pass rush is given. But from the second and third level, that's where they really have their big difficulty.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware, the Chargers have moved Derwin to the slot in recent weeks. Last week, he played almost exclusively in the slot. The week before that, he was in the slot and he played some deep safety and some box safety. So they're trying to get him closer to line of scrimmage. They can use him as a blitzer more often. Mm-hmm. Saw some flashes of that against Baltimore last week. I think they might be more inclined to go that route with the blitz and Derwin this week, just because I don't really see any of the Patriots' weapons standing out as somebody they have to worry about matching up with Derwin. Right. It's not like they need Derwin in coverage to shut down Azay Flowers or whoever it might be. Right. I feel like the Chargers can match up pretty well with the skill players for New England, which is not something we've said at all this year, because their secondary, actually their second and third levels, are awful. Mm-hmm. They've been really bad all season. But this seems like a matchup where they can kind of put eight in the box and they can dare the Patriots to beat them deep and hopefully play some tight man coverage and just smother the Patriots wide receivers, because without Demario Douglas, it just doesn't seem like there's anybody that you really have to worry about getting to the second and third level of defense on this offense in this skill room.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other guy on the roster that I would say they'd really have to watch for would have been Kayshon Boutte, and he's going to be out as well. So I think that's an excellent point. And yeah, I did see a little bit of Derwin mixing up a little bit. I didn't realize he was utilized that heavily in the slot as well, but it makes sense given his skill set. But I agree with you. I think if they do use him as someone that can pin his ears back, get after the quarterback, it's a much more better resource to try to nip it at the bud than rather spend an extra body trying to contain pass catchers, which right now are very few and far between. New England has not had that much success with guys getting open and getting significant yards after the catch, something no one expected when Bill O'Brien took the reins here as offensive coordinator. That's what he's predicated on. Simply has not happened.
Yeah, I think you'll be surprised when you see some of the coverages the Chargers run too. One of the reasons they've been so bad is they play a lot of quarters, almost a majority quarters, and you'll see them play some cover six as well. And they'll give 8 to 10 yard cushions on third and two. They're so afraid of getting beat deep that they're just playing way off and allowing easy completions in front of them. And they're not very good tacklers as a group at the second or third levels. So they're just struggling with big plays. This could be a week, even though I don't think the skill players are all that great for the Patriots. This could very well be a week where you see guys wide open in the middle of the field, up the seams, things of that nature, just because it's what the Chargers have done almost all year, with really the exception of maybe three or four games. They've really had a hard time covering anybody.
Well, that's interesting. And the reason why I say that's interesting is because one of the big problems and one of the big things that you're hearing out of New England's camp is that open receivers are consistently being missed by Mac Jones. Now, does that mean the coverages are different? And does that mean he's not adapting properly or fixating on one area and not seeing the entire field? Yeah, that could be a case. If Bailey Zappe is better at field vision, and Patriots fans are certainly hoping that he is, that could be an area where Bailey might want to exploit. So that's something to watch, because the Patriots pass catchers are not necessarily pass catchers that will get open on their own, but they can be led open with the proper quarterback. That's why it puts a lot of pressure on Bailey Zappe as well. If these guys are open on their own, maybe he can start hitting some of these targets that have been forsaken by Mac within the last few weeks, things that could have led to much bigger plays than what the Patriots had to settle for. So I think that's an interesting point as well. I'm glad that you made that.
So let's talk a little bit about the Patriots defense. One thing that stood out to me watching the games was their secondary is not only disciplined, but very versatile. It seems like everybody can play pretty much any position in the secondary. You know, you mentioned Peppers earlier, playing corner, playing slot, playing linebacker, box safety, free safety. And it seems like, maybe with the exception of JC Jackson, everybody in that secondary can do that. I mean, I saw Miles Bryant play all over the place. Duggar's playing free safety. He's playing in the slot. He's playing strong safety. Peppers is doing that. Who else? Jalen Mills plays all over the place. They seem to be getting a lot out of a relatively unknown secondary group. So what are they doing well? What can we expect from a coverage standpoint? What's going on with that secondary? How are they getting so much out of those guys?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's versatility. And that's what Bill Belichick values in his secondary. And really, I think this has been something that has always been a quiet strength of a Patriots defensive backfield. Strong shutdown corner that is the alpha leader of that group, not necessarily vocally an alpha leader or a captain, but someone that is always going to take the attention of either the top weapon on offense for the opposing team or the number two option, someone that you don't want to beat you. It's been that way since the days of Ty Law. And then you mix in, you know, guys like Darrell Revis, who had a cup of coffee here in New England for a little while, won a Super Bowl. Asante Samuel is someone that has a little bit of an acrimonious relationship with the franchise, but you cannot deny the great job that he did here as a cover corner, one of the best in franchise history. Then you get Stephon Gilmore. Now you expected that guy to be Christian Gonzalez. He wasn't there any longer. So the Patriots were, I guess, fortunate in their regard. I guess Chargers fans would probably say they were fortunate to dump JC as well. I know there's no love loss there, and there shouldn't be, judging by the things that I've read that went on with JC in Los Angeles. But he's much more, I think, comfortable in this system because it allows him to be that ball hawking number one type corner, especially in the absence of Christian Gonzalez. But the other guys are so well adept at being able to play multiple positions. Jalen Mills gets out there. He's played corner. He's played slot corner. He's played perimeter. He's played the free and the box safety. Like you mentioned, Jabril Peppers is someone who's played all over the formation. Somebody we haven't even mentioned that's a former Charger and one of my favorite players on this team is Adrian Phillips. And I think this may be a game where you may see a little bit more Adrian. And you mentioned earlier about defense and what makes this team so successful. It's being able to have so many versatile players that when you have a dual threat or a versatile weapon on the opposite side of the ball, like the Chargers have in Austin Ekeler, you can dedicate a full cover defender to him. And I think you're going to see that from New England tomorrow. That's something they've done in the past with Austin. I know he's had his issues with fumbles lately. And I also know that there have been some regression since the injury at the beginning of the year that kept him out a few games. But I can tell you that Bill Belichick still respects his game to the absolute height. And if you're going to do that, you need to make sure that a guy who's versatile himself has the ability to cover. Adrian, someone who's the star position at the safety, he can move all around the formation. Didn't see him play as much safety in Los Angeles and San Diego as you saw him play the last couple of years in New England. Jabril Peppers' emergence has really relegated him to kind of mop-up duty and very few snaps, few and far between. But that doesn't mean there's still not a great deal of confidence in that room. I think you might see Adrian help out and defend a little on Austin tomorrow, because especially if Keenan Allen is going to be banged up, we're not completely sure, I guess, at the time we're recording this, whether or not he's going to go or not, listed as questionable officially. If that's the case, does that free up Jonathan Jones to be able to help out with the receivers a little bit more? New England's got their work cut out for them, but they are well situated with versatile players that can play all over. And again, Jones is another one. He started as a safety at Auburn, so he knows all about playing multiple positions in that backfield. It's simply what Bill Belichick just does.
Man, I wish the Chargers could do that. They've had so many issues in the secondary, at safety. Really, like I said, at the second and third levels, they've had a lot of issues. No, I mean, they even have the same issues on offense. There is no versatility. There is no flexibility. It seems like everybody is redundant in one way or another to each other. They overlap in some way, and they just don't have an answer when somebody's struggling and guys are playing out of position constantly. You mentioned Adrian Phillips. He's a guy that Chargers fans loved, and they were very disappointed to see him get signed away. He was a guy who, I mean, he's really, you talk about being a self-made man in the NFL. Adrian Phillips is a self-made man. I think he was cut 10 or 12 times by the Chargers before he finally caught on permanently and got that contract from the Patriots. And his play, trying to think of what season that was, 2016, 2017, they started playing more nickel under Gus Bradley, and they got Phillips on the field basically on second and third down, and he transformed their third down defense. Like you said, they'd man him up on the running back. He'd follow the running back all over the place and make plays all over the field. He was phenomenal. We were all sad to see him go, and I saw him pop up in one of the games recently. I'm not sure if it was the Colts game. He was on the field quite a bit, and it seemed like he might have been out there shadowing Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, so
that's exactly right. that was his greatest or his largest snap count to date this season. Again, the emergence of Peppers and the crowd in that backfield has prevented him from seeing time. But Adrian is someone I've loved covering since the moment he came through the door here in New England, and just a jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife that you can always depend on. And I still think he's the best guy in that secondary to be able to stop what Austin does well, because he can run and I think this year, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I mean, you see this team a lot more than I have, but it seems like Austin is even more effective as a pass catcher rather than a rusher this year. That injury to Corey Linsley has definitely hurt the Chargers' ability or that offensive line to open holes for a running back. And I know Austin's been hampered by the injury and hasn't been the same player, but it seems like that's contributed to him being utilized, I think, more as a pass catcher than a running back.
I mean, that's kind of always been his thing. I mean, he was effective as a running back, but he caught over 100 passes last year. And I think he had 80 catches the year before that. So
yeah, it was a career high for him last year.
Yeah. So his thing has always been catching those swing passes, the screens. He's actually always been a really good route runner out of the backfield. They could put him in the slot and have him run routes. At times they have, when they've been banged up at wide receiver, they've had him play some slot. So he's a guy they like to move around. I think what you'll see, if you haven't seen a lot of him this year, you'll see I hate to use this word, but I think he's diminished at this point. The ankle injury definitely is playing a factor. He's not keeping his feet under him very well. Change of direction has been an issue. You're seeing him slipping, running routes now, the fumble issues, and he just doesn't seem to be seeing holes when he's being asked to run the ball. I think sometimes they're there and he's just not finding them. So it just seems like, you know, after a long battle for trying to get his contract redone in the offseason and potentially get traded, it just seems like everything got off to a bad start for him offseason wise into training camp. And he just hasn't been the same guy, and I don't know if he's going to bounce back or not. So you might be a little surprised at what you see from him.
That's a good point.
This week.
That is a good point, because someone who's always, I mean, and this area, they've always held guys like Austin and especially even Keenan Allen, and goes back to guys like Hunter Henry and Adrian Phillips. I mean, when Bill Belichick spends time during one of his press conferences touting the discipline and touting the fundamentals of your opponent, you know that opponent's doing something right. And you hear that a lot from Chargers. Hear that a lot from Bill about Chargers players. And when you see guys struggle, especially from someone coming in that's, you know, a Patriots, you know, beat writer or a Patriots analyst, someone that is not seeing these things every day, you're thinking immediately, oh, well, it's probably the injury. It's probably this. But when you say that the cuts are not happening the way they're supposed to, him getting his feet, he's not seeing the holes the way he should, those are concerns for a team. There's no question about it. So that's excellent insight. And yeah, that would be a little bit of a surprise. But I also think it plays into the fact that if they are worried about what he could do if given the opportunity, pairing him with someone like Phillips, who was a former teammate, he did play alongside Austin for a couple of years. These guys saw each other in practice. So that familiarity right then and there might be something that Belichick wants to keep an eye on Sunday as well. Because you know the converse is true. You know those guys over in the secondary on the Chargers and that defensive front know Hunter Henry pretty well from the job that he did in Los Angeles for a few years. You know they're going to want to try to keep him a little more quiet on Sunday than normal.
Did you say Bill Belichick's been praising the Chargers' discipline?
He's been I don't want to say as a collective team. I'm not going to go that far. But there are certain players that Bill Belichick has fallen in love with over the years in terms of their own discipline to their own game. I've heard him refer to Keenan Allen as one of the most gifted route runners he's ever seen on a football field. And he's right. Keenan Allen is one of the most dynamic route runners I've ever seen. Hunter Henry, he's called one of the most versatile tight ends he's ever seen on a football field. Now, you can make the argument maybe he's, you know, posturing a little bit, I don't know. But it's funny that he had nothing but glowing things to say about Hunter every single time he took the microphone. And then when Hunter became a free agent, Patriots swooped in and they got him. So Bill Belichick has always had those guys in regard. You mentioned the versatility and the discipline and the self-made motivation that you saw from Adrian Phillips. That's why he is a New England Patriot. And he's had very similar things to say about Austin Ekeler all throughout, which is why I actually wrote an article last year for Sports Illustrated detailing the fact that if Austin was looking to be traded, New England might be an underlier that a lot of people didn't agree with, but it made a lot of sense in terms of the type of fit that he would be here because Bill Belichick loves versatile weapons. But judging on what you're telling me now, yeah, that may have passed its prime, but at the time it seemed like a decent possibility. So yeah, Bill is definitely a fan of guys that have certain skill sets that he admires. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's not really a collective thing. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely not a collective thing based on the way things have been going. So we talked about the secondary. I know the Chargers are going to want to try to run the ball against the Patriots. How have teams been having success running the ball against the Patriots?
To be honest, the Patriots' run defense has actually been much better than it has been in years. I mean, they've coming off of being able to control Saquon Barkley. They're eighth in the league. They're allowing just 94.1 yards per game on the ground. They lead the league with a 3.4 yard average allowed per rush. Now, those types of numbers really are not indicative of what we thought we were going to see from a Patriots defense this year. But Lawrence Guy, Devon Godjow, Christian Barmore, Dietrich Wise, these guys have been very good about using their strengths in the interior of that defensive line to really clog the middle. And Wise has been an excellent source on the edge. So he's been someone that has really chipped in with run defense. He hasn't necessarily been the pass rusher that everyone thought that they were going to see from him this season. I think the loss of Matthew Judon hurt him an awful lot, but he's been excellent in really kind of redirecting his goals and redirecting his abilities into the run defense. And I also want to give a tip of the cap to guys like Juwan Bentley and Jelani Tavai, who have been excellent in being able to keep, opposing rushers at bay. So this is a tough team to run against. They can be had, obviously, if you use the ability to maybe confuse the guys at the line a little bit. Again, versatility helps. So if they do want to deploy someone like an Austin Ekeler in a pass catching role, maybe use him a little bit more as a rusher, later on in the game, that could be an option as well. But this is not going to be an easy team to run against. The Patriots' run defense has actually been pretty good this year.
How has Keon White been playing this year?
From what we've seen from Keon, we're seeing a lot of seedlings of a guy that I think is going to be a cornerstone of this defense for years to come. Look, I think he projects as that five tech type of player that can really play all over the field. He can rush the passer. He can be a very good complement in run defense. He even has the versatility and the athleticism to be able to drop back into coverage. Now, you don't see that much, but he does have the ability to do it. He's done it a few times this year. Keon needs to learn a little bit of discipline. He's whistled, I think, a little more than Patriots fans would like to see him. Not necessarily in volume, but at the time that he's whistled, it usually doesn't come at the best of times for New England. You can get him off-tempered a little bit, and that can lead to some things from Keon. But he's one of my favorite draft picks that the Patriots have. Obviously, Gonzalez never got a chance to come to fruition this year. I still think he's as solid as they come, and I can't wait to see him continue what little bit we saw of rookie prowess this year into his second season. But Keon White is someone that you can build around. I love what I've seen from him. He's not going to be a difference maker this year, which means I don't think you're going to see him make huge difference in the outcome of this game tomorrow, but keep an eye on him because he'll make plays here and there that'll show you the prowess that the Patriots saw in him when they took him in the second round out of Georgia Tech.
It seems like the Patriots like to blitz from the third level of their defense quite a bit, use the creeper kind of zone blitz kind of concept, and play a lot of man coverage and just trust their guys to cover. Where is the pressure coming from? Are they having success getting to quarterbacks right now? And are they having to rely on the blitz a lot?
Yeah, they're having to rely on the blitz to get pressure. Look, pressure is not necessarily the problem. Guys have been able to pressure the quarterback. Christian Barmore has been excellent in that department this year. It's getting home and being able to sack the quarterback, being able to put him on his heels. That's where they've missed Matthew Judon. And that is really, there's no way that you can replicate what Matthew Judon brought to this defense. He was always someone that was in position to be able to make life difficult for opposing quarterbacks and make sure that the pressure that you apply is rewarded and you're able to prevent guys from being able to either throw the ball away or make completions on the second and third attempts. It's been a challenge for the Patriots. It's been a double-edged sword because the pressure has been okay, but in terms of sacks and volume, this team has been nowhere near what it has been in the past. Again, without Judon, Josh Uche has regressed and has not been the same type of player that we're used to seeing. So against a guy like Justin Herbert, it's going to be so difficult for the Patriots to be able to reconcile that type of regression and show that they can still get after and make life difficult for him. Last couple of weeks, the Patriots have been fortunate in not necessarily playing guys that are at the top of the heap when it comes to being able to complete passes. And, you know, regardless of any situation, they're going to face one this Sunday, and it's going to be a problem for the Patriots in order to be able to play through it.
How is Herbert seen by New England fans? He's kind of, for whatever reason, he's become kind of a polarizing figure in the NFL. People either seem to love him or they want to kill him for whatever they think his shortcomings are. So how do New England fans see Herbert?
Well, I think there's an awful lot of respect for Justin in his game. Look, you look at the way he's predicated, what he does well. These are values that really I think any quarterback needy team looks at and would say, we'd love to have a guy that comes in that can make, you know, sound decisions like he can, that can complete passes and not turn the ball over routinely. Again, you have to remember what Patriots fans are seeing at the quarterback position this year. So anything is going to look like a step up. And it pains me to say that because, I mean, these are human beings I'm talking about that are calling signals for New England, but it's just been a very difficult year for Pats fans this year. But look, there's also the notion that he can be forced into mistakes. If you show him difficult looks, if there are situations where the Patriots pass rush is able to get active and you can apply pressure, Bill Belichick knows enough in his defense and especially his secondary where they can make life difficult for those second and third levels, those pass catchers that get open either in the end zone, in the red zone, or in the open field. So I think there's a ton of respect for Justin, but I also don't see the same type of maybe reverence that they would have for a guy like Mahomes coming in here in a couple of weeks or whatnot. I think they still see Justin as an elite quarterback, but not one that's going to monopolize their entirety of the focus on their defense. I think they look at the Chargers as more of a team where it's got to be the running back and the pass catchers, the tight ends, and Justin leading the way in order for that to be effective. But again, this is a guy that can take you apart if you give him the opportunity to do it. The Pats have to be ready for it. So how the fans look at him is one thing, but I can guarantee you not one person in that locker room is taking him light. Everyone I talked to this week had nothing but glowing things and really highest compliments for Justin Herbert.
I think what you're going to see from the Chargers offense this week is a lack of playmakers. It's been a big problem for them. If Keenan's on the field, that changes a little bit. Obviously, you mentioned he's one of the top two or three route runners in the NFL, if not the best. But other than him, with Mike Williams out, they're really struggling finding ways to get guys open. Williams being out, Josh Palmer being out.
Josh Palmer too. Yeah.
That's a big challenge for this offense. They haven't figured out how to get Gerald Everett involved on a consistent basis. You'll see him flash for two or three plays a game and then disappear. They've been trying to get Quentin Johnston involved, but they're using him like a jump ball wide receiver, trying to get him 50-50 opportunities. It's not what he does well, and he's not catching the ball well. And right now he looks like he doesn't want any part of having the ball thrown his way. They're having a hard time getting open, creating separation on a consistent basis, and it's leading to Justin staring Keenan down and trying to force throws to him. So I think what you'll see is probably some coverage sacks at times. Justin holding the ball, waiting for guys to come open instead of anticipating openings and throwing guys open. That's been kind of a bugaboo for him this year at times. And then on gotta have it downs, third and long, especially towards the end of the game, it doesn't take much to get to him. All you got to do is send an extra guy or two from one side of the line. They're going to confuse the blocking scheme and they're going to get home. You see it every week at the end of the game. They've got to have a down. They've got to have a drive, overload one side, send four guys on one side. You're going to get a free runner because the Chargers just can't handle it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's very well said. And look, I think in a lot of ways, the Patriots can relate on, players that may flash a little bit and then disappear. You mentioned the tight ends. I think you're seeing that in New England. Mike Gesicki, you'll see him flash for a period, and then all of a sudden things are not going well there. Last week there was a very big disconnect between he and Mike Gesicki about the correct route being run, and Gesicki was running one way and Mac was throwing the ball the other. These are difficulties that really you don't usually see in New England. And Pharaoh Brown has been one of their best gadget players. He's been one of their best chunk play guys that can get you big yardage, with the exception of a couple of games where he's been able to make a difference on offensive drives. He's almost completely disappeared. Other than being a sound run blocker, you're not seeing much of him. So I think Pats fans can really relate to that in terms of not having the proper weapons to get open and to make life easier on your quarterback. I know it stings a little bit more in Los Angeles because the talent level at quarterback is much different in your room than it is here in New England right now. But I think that same concept still stings no matter what situation you're in offensively.
Definitely. I can agree with that. All right. Well, let's do a quick prediction. What do you think happens tomorrow?
Well, I think you're going to see New England come out a little bit on the aggressive side, on the offensive side of the ball. I think they feel they have something to prove, that maybe this change was something Bill Belichick needed to make and that the Patriots still have some talent on that side of the ball. But I don't think you're going to see enough of it or enough of it consistently in order for them to get the win. I think the Chargers can be kept at bay. I'm not going to say that they're going to come in and be able to run roughshod over this defense. I think the Pats defense is a little bit too good to allow that on their home field, but I think this is going to be a close one, maybe seesaw matchup back and forth at times. I like the Chargers in this one by a field goal. I think they take it 20-17. Again, I just think there's too much talent out on the visitors' side of the bench right now for New England to be able to pull this off. But I think they will. In terms of the Patriots, I think they'll look a little more disciplined tomorrow, which is why I think they'll be in the hunt for the majority of the game.
So I kind of think the Patriots are going to try to, quote unquote, take the air out of the football. I think they're going to try to keep Herbert off the field and on the sideline by running the ball, and they're going to try to keep it close. My guess is the Chargers are going to be emboldened by Bailey Zappe starting a quarterback and be on the attack. Kind of like what you saw them do against the Bears and against the Jets, right, where they had no respect for the quarterback play and they just throttled those teams with their pass rush and blitzes. And they were, you know, they attacked the quarterbacks with reckless abandon because they knew they couldn't hurt them. Right. And I think we'll see some of that from the Chargers on Sunday. I think it'll be close for most of the game because every game the Chargers play is close, no matter who they play for the most part. But I have a feeling this is going to come down to a couple of late turnovers on short fields by Bailey Zappe. I just think they're going to get to him. You're probably going to see a sack fumble, maybe a pick, set the Chargers up in good field position. I think the Chargers probably win this by two scores late. I'll say 24-10. I just don't think – I would be very upset if the Patriots scored more than 10 to 17 points in this game.
I would be surprised. And I would be surprised if they scored more than 17. I'm going with 17 on this because I think they'll find a little spark early that is going to allow them to run the football effective enough to be able to get maybe one more score than they really deserve. But yeah, I would be surprised if it went over 17 for New England at this point. So I can see where you're coming from. This is, again, a team that is looking for an identity, and I'm not sure they're ready to find it making a simple quarterback change right now. They're still a long ways away, and they're not just one player away from turning things around. So another long season for the New England Patriots. And, you know, considering the goodwill that they had up here for about two plus decades, again, everything is secular and circular, I should say, and are cyclical. Yeah, cyclical, I guess, is the best way for me to put it. It's lean times here in New England.
All right, Mike. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on. I thought it was a great show and a great chat. I hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I definitely did. The Chargers are always a fun team to evaluate, again, because of the personalities that they have both on offense and on defense. But just the way that they go about doing their business, whether it's a great year or whether it's a troubled year, it's always fun to break this team down because of the talent that they have. And you do a great job here on this pod. You certainly know your football. I'm really honored that you asked me to come on today. And thank you. It really was a pleasure. And I enjoyed this very much.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the kind words. And I really appreciate your time. I'll let you get back to your Saturday now and your family. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we are done. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we will see you guys after the game on Sunday for After Hours.